How was that?
Yeah, that's better. That's better.
Okay, so the problem is this is without the micing. So I'm plugging the mic back in.
Okay, plug it back in.
Okay, so how's that now?
Oh yeah, that sounds good. Yeah.
Okay, excellent. I think it depends on the side that I stick it into the laptop.
That's what she said.
Which viewport?
I'm sorry, I'm an idiot. Don't worry about me.
Say what?
I said I'm an idiot. Don't worry about me.
Bro, if we, you know, we say what needs to be said. Serious comedic in other ways.
Yes, this is true. I love doing that around people that don't know me though, because they'll say something and I'm like, that's what she said, and they look at me and think, they literally always, the response is always, so you're that kind of person, aren't you? You're that kind of person. I'm like, I just can't help it, and I see that door, I just need to open it.
That's your trademark. That's literally it's been your trademark for 10 years plus. You know, it's like it's the calling card. What can I say?
That's not a good thing. I feel like that's not a good thing to have at all as my calling card. I need to stop. Oh man. Oh, so we're back again for episode 2. How did you feel about episode 1? Did you hear it? Was it good? Was it not good?
You talking to me?
Yeah. I mean, unless there's anyone else here that is in the conversation.
That might just be a general comment to the people of the universe.
Oh, this is true. I was, you know what, mm-hmm. to be, okay, that's a blanket statement to everyone then. Sorry, my fault.
Yes, indeed. I was happy with it, though. I was very happy with it. It was, yeah, exactly as we intended. We just threw a lot at the wall. Threw a lot and said, you know, we're going to talk about everything today. Yeah, man. And yeah, we got into some corners, into some spaces. We brought up some things that may be uncomfortable. And yeah, so I feel as though speaking the truth comes with responsibility. That's me personally. So
yeah.
What we spoke about, you and I, and yeah, what I'd love to do is to explore these topics that came up in greater depth, in you know, with more nuance. Nuance, because nothing is black and white necessarily.
This is true.
This is what we are navigating. So yeah, man. Yeah, definitely. I feel as though we have a solid foundation.
Yeah, we do have I get you. What we talked about, there's a lot to draw from. And just earlier on, we did have just a small conversation. It wasn't really that much of a conversation about what we're going to talk about today. And I feel like we need to talk about this topic because I really don't want people to get the wrong idea about how, you know, it was talked about in the last episode. And that's just about how, because you need to understand this. Well, first of all, what are we talking about today? Let's just start with that.
Today, yeah. So our topic, roughly speaking, we're speaking about, so us as men, our interactions with women, and relationships in that aspect, primarily romantic, but also how that affects other sorts of relationships, especially with family dynamics, platonic dynamics. Yeah. And I feel as though they are interconnected more so than we probably want to admit some of the time. Yeah.
Cool. So something that I just want to start with is the fact that this whole thing you were talking about before, about women just owning their own, you know, strength, how they shouldn't try and do things the way guys do them, that they're supposed to do things the way that feels comfortable for them. Like, stop trying to aspire to do something the way you see a guy do it. Do it the way that it feels comfortable for you, because that might actually be the better way to do something. You might actually break through on something that's new that we need in this world. So first, I want to go into more depth on that a little bit, because that is something you were talking about the other day.
Yeah. So firstly, I want to preface that by saying I don't want to tell people what to do.
Yeah, that's true. That's not what this is about.
From a point of observation, and yeah, to jump straight into that, in my observation, the people that I connect with, that I commune with, who I speak with, the women who are more in flow, let's say, the women who are more in flow with themselves, more in flow with the world, are those who are tapped into their thing. I know some powerful women.
Oh, yeah.
Especially over the past year, the past 12 to 16 months, I would say, I've met some crazy powerful women. And what they all had in common, what they all have in common, is that they are themselves. And they're not trying to compete with other women. They're not trying to compete with men. They're on their own shit, like all the way in.
Mm.
And one of the first one that I want to speak about is a woman called Joanna Fatonji.
I don't know. Like, is it okay to use real life names? I mean, just in case, like, they're not comfortable with you saying their real names.
I've been singing Joanna's praises for over a year, so she's not gonna be against it right now.
Okay, I'm just saying. I don't want you to say the name and then people go look her up and then she's getting lit up.
I hope they look her up. I want them to look her up.
Okay.
I want them to get in contact with her. I want them to speak with her.
Okay, if you think she's okay with it.
I want them to, of course, this is what we do. We have that kind of dynamic anyway.
All right.
We send people in each other's direction.
Okay.
I've connected a couple people, or, you know, send a couple people in her direction.
All right, that's fine. Okay, continue with this girl, you know, this amazing woman.
Because what? So she was my first coach, life coach, right?
Oh.
And we worked together for a total of 9 months. And over the course of that 9 month period, she held space for me. All right, and what I mean when I say that is, she allowed me to show up with all of my shit. And
what do you mean? What do you mean by shit? As in your emotional and your all of your trouble, everything you're going through in your life.
Yeah, everything I was trying to achieve in the physical world, everything I was going through emotionally, spiritually, I showed up with that, and she held that space for me, and repeatedly asked me, "What would you love? What would you love to create?" That's it. She held that space for me. It was, I described this relationship as me being in her womb. So it's a coaching room, right? In a virtual space. It felt like a womb to me, a place that I was growing in and developing in.
Mm-hmm.
And she helped me with her feminine energy. She held me and allowed me to grow, allowed me to develop, allowed me to evolve.
Okay.
And to face my emotions. You know, the shit that I've been suppressing for years. And at the same time, because of that, there's a polarity that's created, right? Between masculine and feminine. And that's not necessarily always man and woman, because you can have very feminine men.
Yes.
That are balanced, you know, polarized with very masculine women.
Yeah, there's a spectrum when it comes to that. Yeah.
Right. So about having that balance. And she provided that feminine energy for me, that polarity. And with that, I was able to move more into my masculinity. So I feel I move through the world now as more of a man. This is the first, like, between last year and this year, have really been the first time that I said, you know, age 30, that, you know what? Yes, I'm a man. And there's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it anymore. I'm not looking for any sort of social status symbols to prove that I'm a man. It's not having children that makes me a man.
Mm-hmm.
It's the fact that I faced my shit and I've looked at all of it and I've said, all right, I'm taking responsibility for it. And she was the first person to really, really challenge me and hold me accountable
to
that. And she did that by being her. She wasn't trying to be no one else. She ain't trying to be no one else. And she is, in my opinion, one of the best coaches on the planet. Like, just the way she moves. And that, yeah, that's, I've seen a lot of people do this coaching thing.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no one that does it the way she does it.
You know what? I am so glad you do that. I mean, you said that because there's so many things I was thinking of in the past. And I always had this philosophy that I talk to people about, but I'm so glad I can talk to you about that now, because you literally confirmed something that I have been thinking of for such a long time. And it's the fact that women create men. women raise men, you know? Like, if you want to be a man, that's what women do. Women create men. And you literally just explained why. Because women do this thing where they... Because for a guy, we... The way our brains are wired, the way we work, we're reckless, we hold shit in, especially in this society, where especially what we were born into, where guys have to not talk about their feelings. And if I don't want to trigger anyone, but when we were in school, if you would say anything emotional, anything that seemed like you were weak, people would call you gay. And that was seen as a very derogative term. And
we went to a boys' school as well.
Yeah, it was really bad. So we keep all of that inside. But thing about women is women are like, nah, don't keep that inside. You got to talk about it. You got to show, because women like talking. They like talking about everything. Even if it's a minuscule thing, they'll talk about it. And they want you to talk about your shit. And then you talk about your shit. And then you realize how good it is to get that shit out. And then, like you said, just moving through life with that. It's just so much more refreshing than keeping it all bottled up inside, because you have to be a man. You have to hold it. That's not what a man is. A lot of guys are afraid to even, you know, have gay friends or put on a little bit of makeup or, you know, just have a laugh and wear a dress. And they just see just any little bit like that as, you know, being unmanly. Like, even if, let's say you have a daughter and she wants to just fool around with you, put some little bit of makeup on your face. Some guys would be like, oh, no, we can't do that. I mean, it's your daughter. Just play around with her. That makes you more of a man putting on makeup with your daughter than not, because you're so comfortable with who you are and you're being a fatherly figure. That makes you more of a man than anything else. I'm glad you said that, actually, because I do go with that mentality that women are, you know, the reason why men are around. And if it's not for women, we would have all killed each other long time ago.
Essentially, yeah. Our nature is to be a conqueror. Mm. And that can either be in a healthy sense or in a toxic sense. And as you said, we were born into a toxic society.
Yeah.
So what that means is, and in another sense, the earth, right, and the world that we live in is also a womb. The city that you live in is a womb. The home that you live in is a womb.
Yeah.
And you take on the characteristics of that womb.
It's called Mother Earth for a reason.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's why it's so important to take care of, or that a mother is taken care of while she is pregnant at all times. But especially while she is pregnant, the things that she eats, the things that she consumes, the amount of stress that she's under, all of that affects the child growing within her. And the same is true for a city, right? The shit going on in the city is going to be going on inside the people that live there. If your home is chaotic, your thoughts will be chaotic, right? And that's why for me, it's very important to keep my home in a certain order.
Mm.
And what I want to touch on is that, so you said that women create men.
Yeah.
And yes, that is very true. And what happens is the state of the women affects the state of the men, and yes, then the state of the men affects the state of the women. So it's a rebound effect.
Yes, it is.
And that's it. And that's why we go through these destructive cycles as a collective, because, you know, if you're, so I'm going to speak about my mother. Personally, right?
All right. If you feel comfortable enough to do that, then okay.
For sure.
All right.
And I've since moving away from home, not seeing my parents every day or even every week, I have a lot of perspective. And especially as I have children of my own now, I have a lot of perspective on what was actually going on within my parents, with emotionally, you know, primarily. And I genuinely see that my parents gave me everything they could and they did the best that they could.
Yeah.
With what they had, you know, and I love and I respect them deeply for that. And my mother and I, we didn't have the closest of emotional bonds, right? And what I realize is that because she was a product of an environment that demanded other things of her, right? And she was also taught that, yeah, she has two boys, you know, it's me and my brother. She was also taught that boys need to be a certain way. Boys need to have a certain toughness.
Yep, same with mine.
You know? So it was for a lot of our mothers, it was difficult for them to see us cry. And, you know, and especially as black boys growing up in London.
Yep.
Right? They're thinking, I just want this boy to survive.
Yep.
I know these streets, I mean. So I need to make sure he's tough. And I understand that now. I understand everything they do, everything they did was to the best of their understanding because they love us from their point of consciousness.
Yeah.
You know? And so that made us into what we were. Obviously, my father went through whatever he went through. I don't know many details, but he went through whatever he went through with his mother. Right? And so what it comes down to, women create men, but at the same time, a man must teach you how to be a man. So a woman gives you that capacity. Another man gives you that direction.
Yes. I can see. Yeah, that makes a bit. So it's, to put that in layman's terms, it's more like you learn how to be a man from the guidance that your mother gives you, but you watch your father to know what it is to be a man, kind of thing. It's like, yeah. You look at your dad and usually that's like a, how do I say that? A figure that you look up to, like, oh, that's what it's like to be, you know, that's what it's like to be a man. That's what it's like to be a father. That's what it's like to be just a guy, right? But your mom is the one that actually grooms you and raises you to actually be a decent goddamn human being, right?
But then, so that's where it's key, because then our mothers are either going to raise us to be tough, so to speak.
Yeah.
Or to be like super nice guys.
Yeah.
Those are the extreme poles. Right? Most of us are somewhere in between that. But what it is, or what I've noticed, what I've observed, especially in men that I'm connected with, is that our mothers either taught us, all right, you need to toughen up and do this and do that, or you need to be nice and polite at all times.
Yeah.
All right. So those are the two extremes. And we kind of went into that last week about the effect that has if you're always taught to be super nice and you don't really know how to deal with the difficult emotions.
Yes, yes. So just to bring that up as well, because you had a father, so you had a mother, you had a father. With me, I never had a father. I had my mother and my sisters. So I was raised in a house full of women. And that was one heck of a stressful roller coaster ride. Don't get me wrong. I love my mom. I love my sisters. But it's a thing where, like you said, when you look back on what your parents went through, especially my mom being a single parent in London, she doesn't know that much about the city and she's just trying to make ends meet. I can't blame her for what she did. I understand what she went through, but damn, she was a contradictory person. And she did tell me later on in life that the reason why she did what she did is because she was alone. And she tried to be both a mom and a dad. And it's really difficult to be both a mom and a dad. Because she would be very contradictory to me. She would like you said, we weren't allowed to cry. So I'd walk in, I'd be crying, and she'd literally be like, why are you crying? You're supposed to be the man of the house. Why are you crying? And I'm like, I'm a kid. And then at times when we're arguing, I'm like, Mom, no, you can't do this. This is foolish. What are you doing? She'll literally be like, oh, so now you think you're 11. You think you can talk to me like that now? You think you're 11 years old. It's your birthday. You think you can talk to me like that? Like, whoa. What do you want from me? Do you want me to be the man of the house, or do you want me to shut up? What do you want from me? And you can see how in that situation, she was trying to be both people, but it's difficult. It's difficult. So, like you said, it's, you need the mom's guidance, but you need the father figure there to also be the one you look at. And when you have just a single parent, it's pretty hard to, I mean, I'm not saying there's single parents that, I'm not saying it cannot be done. There's single parents there that have done it. They've done, but it's still difficult. Not everyone can do it. But I don't blame my mom at all for what she went through.
Mm. Yeah.
But yeah, you were saying how, the point I was trying to say is, I could see how, I'm not saying that I was a nice guy, but I did turn out to not do certain things because, I mean, I was called a nice guy. I don't know if you can attest to this, but I know that I wouldn't do certain things or date certain girls or do certain things because I was quote unquote a nice guy, even though my reputation said I wasn't. it was a very weird situation to be in.
I think I most definitely was. And I'll go into depth on that in a bit. But what I want to address is the fact that I truly believe that none of us ever fight anyone external. So when we're having fights and arguments with our family, you know, with friends, with whoever, we're not actually fighting them. We're not arguing with them. We're arguing with ourselves. And that's a visual that came up for me as you as you described what your mom was going through and the contradictory aspect of it. And I sense as though that conflict was going on inside of her.
Yeah.
You know, and you guys are the nearest people to her. And beyond that, you're the only male in the household. So all of those problems, those resentments, right, with your father, with men in general.
Yeah, they came out on me.
Played out through
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I know. I get that now, being older. That's why I'm like, yeah, I get it. Mm. Even though I hate it. I hate to feel this, but a part of me does resent what things that she's done. But just because there's resentment there doesn't mean that it's not, you know, completely, you know, washed over by an ocean of love. Kind of thing, because she yeah. did the best of what she had. And to be honest, being a single parent with, what school education she had and the money she had, and I'm still here alive and I have a job and I'm in Japan and I'm doing things, she fucking got S plus fucking marks, man. Mm-hmm. Like, shit.
Yeah, man. Not for sure. For sure.
But you said you were going to talk about something in a bit. By the way.
Yeah.
Go on.
Go ahead.
No, because we're still on the topic of how amazing women are. Just to let you know, like when it comes to being a single parent, damn. I mean, she was contradictory, but like I said, I'm still alive. Man, she did a good job. Like, regardless of all the bad things that did happen, like, I'm still here. So women are strong, man. Women are strong.
So what I'm gonna go into is actually gonna segue into the part we play in helping women.
Okay.
To actually be who they are. And so yeah, I for a long time I identified as a nice guy. You know, I was the Captain Save-A-Hole.
Dude, you're the worst kind of people. You're the worst kind of guy. The guys that think that they're the saviors, man.
He been cheating on you, or he treating you better. You know, I was that R&B motherfucker, like, you know, I can treat you better.
Neo, man. You're the Neo, man. So sick, man.
Baby, you shaped up me. All of that, man. If I was your man, you know.
That was boy, you.
Boy, that was me, man.
Oh, that was me. Man.
And that was a trap. That was a trap. That's all I can say. That was a hell of a trap. Because, and this is the thing. Those ideas were put into my head through that type of music, funnily enough. Right? Listening to that type of music, watching those TV shows where it's like, oh yeah, you know, there's the nice guy that comes along and saves the day from the bad boy.
But to be honest, to bring up a fact, we never got taught about relationships at all.
Exactly.
Like, I don't know if you remember this, but at school, who was it? It was our science teacher. He was a black guy. He was so dope. And the... Yeah! He's so dope. And the only education we got about sex or relationship was when he literally bought a TV, rolled it into the classroom, put on a cassette, and it was just a fucking movie of a naked white family. And we're like, what the fuck are we watching? And then after that, we're all just like, what just happened right now? That was sex education. That was relationships. That was it. That's all we got taught. So of course, we're going to go to these songs and these music artists and all of these shows. Like even Will Smith and Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, when he's going hitting on these girls. That was our introduction, our education to how to talk to girls.
Yeah, man. That's it. That's it. We learned from TV. And from music.
Yeah.
Sure. And, you know, we could look to our parents. And I did take example from my parents. And what I got from them was, when you get with someone, you're supposed to stay with them. So that got me into some other situations where I was in, you know, things for a long time, just because I thought I was doing the right thing. I was being a nice guy. I was being a nice guy. And that was my identity. That was the label I, you know, had for myself. I was like, wow. I don't beat women, you know, I don't be cheating on them, you know, until I did cheat, you know. That's a whole different story though.
What's that quote? What was that quote? You would live long enough. No.
See yourself become the villain.
Yeah, you live long enough to
die a hero.
Yeah, you either die a hero or live long enough to see yourself become a villain. Yeah.
Yes, and yeah. I became the villain. I became that which I despised.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's a story for another time. But, I became that which I despised. And that was because of the fact that I identified so heavily with being a nice guy that I suppressed anything that contradicted that image I had of myself.
Yeah, yeah.
So that resulted in a lot of suppressed and depressed feelings. Like, that's what depression is. Depression is literally just pushing your shit down. And
yeah, you don't express it. Yeah.
Right. That's what that is. And I became aware of that. So we spoke about the importance of showing our emotions, right?
Yeah.
I became aware of that when I found myself in a situation with my children's mother. This is how I'm going to lead into what women need from us, from my perspective.
Okay, go on.
You're in a situation where I was... she had certain expressions, right? And a certain way to express herself. And it would trouble me, let's say. Let's put it that way. It would trouble me. I was uncomfortable.
She
would express herself, right.
Okay, I got you.
But because I wanted to be a nice guy, I would just play it off. Like, oh yeah, it's all good. I'm calm. And that was the other thing. The calm person, right? The nice guy who was calm all of the time.
Mm-hmm.
That was my persona. That was my identity. Right? So if anything would take me out of that calm space, I would push it down, pretend it doesn't exist. If anything would take me out of that nice space, I would push it down, pretend it doesn't exist.
Mm.
And so we were going in circles, arguing. But again, just in a very strange way where I was suppressing what was really going on within myself. And then it wasn't until that situation didn't change until I finally just said, fuck it. I'm angry. I am angry.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as she saw that, it was like a breath of relief. She was like, he is human.
I feel like
I can trust.
Yeah, I feel like women do this because, like, sorry to interrupt, but like, I feel like women, especially in the relationships, women do push your buttons. They do things to push you because they want to see how you react. Like my girlfriend, she was like, she would literally tell me, oh, by the way, I'm going to go out and hang out with one of my coworkers. I'm like, okay. And she's like, yeah, it's a guy and he's taking me to this restaurant. I'm like, cool. And then she's like getting frustrated. And then I'm like, what's wrong? She's like, no, never mind. And then later on, she told me that I wanted you to be jealous. I wanted you to get angry. I wanted you to be like, don't hang out with that guy. Why are you hanging out with him? And I'm like, but I understand how the culture works here. And I know you're not going to do anything. So if you want to go hang out with your coworkers, I'm not an arsehole. You can go hang out with whoever you hang out with. Just don't cheat. Don't be a dick. And then she was like, yeah, but I wanted you to get angry. I'm like, but why? Because you being angry will show me that you care about me, that you care if I'm hanging out with another guy, that you care if I might be cheating. And I'm like, what? You need me to be angry for me to care? Wow, this is some next level shit. All right.
Mm.
So, women push your buttons.
It's a different language. So yeah. We, in my experience, you can only communicate with words so far, with people generally, but most definitely with women and with the way women are built.
Mm.
And the reason for that is women need safety and security. And that safety and security, in my experience, comes in the form of a man who knows who the fuck he is. So a man who's going to say, yeah, you know what? I am feeling this way.
Mm.
And this is what I'm going to do about it. So it's not to be robotic and blind to emotions, but it's also not to be so far that emotions control you.
A lot of them, yeah.
Being able to feel your emotions and then make a decision in that, you know, from that space, you know? So be able to say, you know, I'm pissed off, but without losing your shit.
Yeah.
You know?
That's actually spot on because, I was hanging out with another girl and she literally said the same thing. She literally said that guys have the emotional span of, what is it? Emotional span of, I forgot what she said, but it made me laugh. Basically, guys have a small emotional span and she understands that, what did she say? She said she understands that guys haven't been taught how to be emotional, but it's so fucked up when she then tries to date a guy or gets into a relationship with a guy and it's like she has to be the mother and she's like, I'm not your mother, I'm your girlfriend, I shouldn't have to teach you how to fucking open up, what the fuck. And women go through this with guys these days and I get it. Like you said, they want a guy that just comes out and it's like, fuck it, I'm angry, piss me off, woman. But at least you don't, you know, wild out and go crazy with it.
Right.
But just to let you know as well, this is just for heterosexual couples. Like, we don't know how it happens in the, you know, the spectrum of relationships, whether you're gay or you're trans or you're non-binary. We don't know how those relationships goes. I'm really interested, actually, when it's a woman on a woman or a guy on a guy.
Yeah, I have no experience in that realm.
Yeah, same.
And I'll be very interested. So I know a couple of people who, I don't know the ins and outs of their relationships, but I sort of see the dynamics that they show on social media for as much as you can tell from social media.
Hmm.
But there always seems to be that aspect of polarity.
Yeah. You know, there's especially like this whole, there's always a top and a bottom. Or in the lesbian relationship, there's always the girl one and a butch one. And I'm like, why is that? Is that an actual thing? Why can't they both be the girl? Do they both have to be girl and a butch? Like, it's strange for me.
Mm. But it comes down to the fact that there must be balance.
Mm.
There must be, not perfect balance necessarily, but a balance in all things. And to sort of illustrate that, I like to think about it in terms of, how can we put it? All right. In terms of the yin yang, the symbol, right?
Taoism, I think it is. Taoism.
Taoism, yeah, that is associated with, indeed. And this symbol that we have the black portion and the white portion.
Yeah. We
And at the same time, each contains a small part of the other. Each contains a small part of the other.
Yeah.
And so
everything's gray, man. Everything's gray.
Yeah, indeed. And when we are too far polarized in one side, we lose sight of the delicate balance that's necessary for life to even exist. You know, like, think about it. If you just have a group of guys who all they do is jack off and bust nuts everywhere, nobody gets pregnant. Nobody gets pregnant. The sperm needs to go, and you know, it needs to meet an ovum and be implanted in the womb. That's the first illustration that came to my mind. I'm not sure why, but it makes sense. Sperm needs somewhere to travel, and an egg needs to be fertilized. That is what this whole life thing comes down to, you know. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, as I said, there's a small part of the other polarity within. So we as men, you know, people who carry penises, we are built for penetration.
Mm-hmm. Women, that is literally what a penis does, yes.
Right. Are built for, what would be the word? Reception?
No, reception is when you're receiving.
Receive. The vagina receives the penis.
Oh, you're talking about the vagina? Oh, I thought you were talking about the penis. Okay.
Indeed. So the vagina receives the penis.
Okay.
And at the same time, the penis has a hole in the tip. So those fluids from the vagina will still enter the penis. So it's not pure penetration. There's also that aspect of receiving on a man's part as well.
Okay.
And woman is giving in that sense. So what I'm saying is, yeah, polarity. That's it. I don't want to go into this whole, this is how I think. This is what I do when I'm sitting down by myself.
Please, like, please, this is a, please go. I love it.
Yeah, man. But yeah, it's the aspect of giving and receiving on both parts. And so, I was speaking about how we help women, right?
Yeah.
Essentially, the way we help women is to, first of all, help ourselves and be so stable and so secure.
That's 100 right there.
In our own being, that they can feel safe and secure around us.
That is 100, yep. A lot of people don't get that in this day and age. I think that's the thing, right? So in the West, especially in the West, no, actually over here in the East as well, actually, there's this family motive, right? You're supposed to grow up, go to school, get a degree, get a job, get a family, have kids, retire, die. Right. And in all of that, it's always about what it's just going for those goals, right? You're always going for those goals. That's why when people don't reach those goals, they sink into some sort of twisted depression, or they go into gambling or whatever. And it's a thing where this world doesn't actually teach us, yo, you do not have to go. These steps are just one path. There's other paths. If you want a family, you can go for that. That's great. But there's also paths where you can be alone. And it's okay to be alone. It's like, alone is not the word. It's okay to be by yourself. It's okay to be alone. Because you need to find yourself anyway. What do you like? What don't you like? Have you gone traveling the world? Sometimes people get into a family so quickly, they didn't even have time to understand what they liked or didn't like. They didn't even get to see the world or explore or, you know, understand if they could do something. And I feel like that's so unfair, because this society really pushes that. And so we don't get to be ourselves. And because we don't get to be ourselves, we get into a situation where we get old and it's like, oh, if you haven't found someone yet, you have to find someone now. So people just fall into relationships and then they have children. And it's like, yeah, it's just a scattered existence, really. It's just plodding through life. Like, oh, it will get better. We got to work. It's like, but you didn't find yourself. And like you said, we need to find ourselves so that women feel secure. Heterosexual men. This is for the heterosexual men. We do need a woman on this podcast, or someone who's in the LGBTQ plus community to also talk about this subject as well.
I'm gonna state this right now. I am very interested in having an open conversation with a trans person.
Oh my God, I would love to talk to a trans person. I would love to have an open conversation with a trans person. 100, both male and female trans as well.
There's a lot that I want to understand about that, because I'll be honest about it. I'll be honest about it. Like, it's something that, like, I get it, but I really want to get into the mind space with someone that says, you know what, this body, this gender is not the right one, or, you know, it's not right for me. I feel trapped in this here body, and I need to switch poles or move along the spectrum or whatever that may be. I would love to get into that mind space.
Yeah, hopefully.
I thought there's a lot to that.
Yeah, hopefully with whoever's listening or whoever, like, call in, message us, let us know if you want to talk about it, because that would be great. I would love to talk to a trans person as well. And I feel like we also need a woman's voice, especially when we're talking. Like, I don't want people to think that, oh, these guys are mansplaining, you know, because it is just two guys talking about what we think women need or want. And it's not like that. We're just trying to understand. We're trying to, like, send information out to the people listening as well. If you don't agree with us, please let us know. Where did we go wrong? Where don't you agree? Because for heterosexual relationships, what I always seem to get is that women just want a guy that's funny, and he will just, you know, he just knows himself, and that's the two things: funny and confident. If you're funny and you're confident and you're okay with who you are and you're a stable dude, that's all she wants. That's what she wants. Just be confident, be stable, be a little funny. That's all she needs, you know? And some guys don't even get that. And some guys can't even, you know, it's that simple. I've seen, like, because with guys' mentality, we think we need to be really muscly. You need muscles for days, or you need to have just rolling in the cash. But women have constantly said that, yeah, that's cool to have, but that's not what it's about. You know, that's not what it's about at all. Some women want that. Some women just want a guy that's rich as hell, just take care of her. It's like, okay, that's what she wants. Some girls, like, it's muscles, they can't help it. All right, cool, that's what you want. But majority of women just want a guy that's just confident and stable. Maybe a little funny hearing it there, you know, like, yeah. But what I feel like in this day and age, and I know a lot of people may disagree with me, but I feel like, well, I think something you touched on before, that women have strayed. Like, I think it's something you said before in a certain way, shape or form, but they've strayed from womanhood, not womanhood, but strayed from the power. Okay, so like I said before, women are the undercover rulers of this world, right? Women control, like, women, if you look at even at the marketplace, when you look at who is buying the most shit in the world, if you look at the stats, it's women. Women actually control the market. Why is it when you walk into a supermarket or a drugstore or whatever, the first things you will see is probably the makeup aisle, or it's always something for a woman or something for babies or something for this, because women love buying shit. Women control the market. They can, women control it. All right. But I feel like nowadays women are either abusing the power that they have or don't even understand the power that they wield. And when I mean abusing, I mean the women out there that they know they have power and they abuse it. They use it to abuse guys or abuse other women. Or there's women that are going on like, oh, I'm not pretty, or oh, I'm not this, or I'm not that, because of social media. And they're not understanding that, no, you're actually quite dope. And the thing that really gets to me is when women go, oh, I can't get into a relationship, it's so hard. And it's like, it's actually not that difficult for you women. I know you think it's difficult, but it's not. You can actually go outside, and if you knew how to use your power, you could get a guy in a week, even less. With guys, it's a lot harder. So I just feel like nowadays, women have lost that, you know, that, you know? And I do think that social media is a really big part as to why that is.
Yeah, social media has a major impact, for better or for worse, on all of us. And the first beings that are influenced by that are the women. And because, again, the way I observe this world is in a sense of as above, so below. So what is true on one level is true on all levels, right? So we spoke about women being the receivers, yeah? So that's, it's not just women, but it's the feminine aspect of creation. It's the feminine energy that exists that is to do with receiving and expanding. So again, to bring it back to the reproductive process, you give a woman a sperm cell, right? She receives it and expands it into a child. Right, just that still blows my mind to this day, that you can give a woman one cell.
Dude,
one cell.
It's insane.
Right?
When you really think about, people don't, that's another thing. People don't actually take a minute and sit down and actually go, there's actually trillions and trillions of cells that make up my body all doing shit simultaneously without me knowing. And that we all came from just one minuscule petite amount of it that then grew to become us. How does that not blow people's minds every fucking day?
It's mad. It's really mad. And I was looking at my son just this morning, and I was like, yo, you, first of all, you were a tiny ass baby with a big ass head that you couldn't hold up. But that, like everything that you went through, and now you're here standing up tall, jumping, swearing, you know? It's mad. It's really mad. But yeah, essentially anything that we give to women, anything that we as men, as masculine dominant beings, give to feminine dominant beings will be
I'm glad you said feminine dominant beings as well, because if you just said masculine dominant beings, that would have been an issue. I'm glad you said feminine dominant beings as well. Thank you.
That results in that expansion. So that can be, like I said, it can be a sperm cell, but it can also be an idea. An idea. How many times, I don't know about your experience, right? But in my experience, I've presented an idea to a woman and she'll go away and sort of, you know, it would do its thing in her consciousness. And then she'll come back to me and say, oh yeah, by the way, this, that, and the other. And I'd forgotten that I even told her about it, but she's given me like a whole way that I could move with it and different angles and all kinds of shit that I haven't even seen.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, the masculine is direct penetration, right?
Yeah.
The feminine is expansive 360 degrees. 360 degrees. That's also why a woman will tell you when that person that you think is your friend is about to sell you out. You're like, nah, come on, man. You know, they're cool. And then when they sell you out, you're like, okay, I see.
I'm not going to...
That's the vision.
Yeah.
And that's their role, so to speak. Just like our role is to be direct, is to go deep. their role is to be expansive and to see 360. So that's why we function together. When you have direction that you can expand, you have a whole sphere. You have a sphere. That's how you create a sphere of influence, a sphere of a business idea, whatever, a family, a relationship. It depends on the masculine saying, okay, this is the direction that I see us going in. And then the feminine expanding that vision.
Hmm. I'm not going to lie. There's some truth in that. There's definitely truth in that. Because for an example, I went to Akihabara. And if you know Japan, Akihabara is the place where you get all the anime stuff. That's what Akihabara is. That's what everyone knows Akihabara as. You go to buy electronic goods there, but you also go there for anime. So I went there because, of course, anime. And my girl was like, oh, by the way, summer's coming up. Don't you need a fan? And I was like, oh, shit. That's true. And then just with your example, if she wasn't there to just be like, hey, by the way, you do understand you need a fan, right? Because summer's coming up. And seeing as you go into Electric Town, you might as well get one. I would never have gotten a fan. So like you said, it was a thing where I went there for one purpose, but she was like, seeing as you're here, you might as well get this as well. Expanding my, oh yeah, shit. I do need that. Right. So yeah.
That's dope. Yeah, man. And that's why it's important for us to find ourselves first. So I kind of did it the other way around. You know, I found myself as a young father. I was like 23 when I found out I was going to be a father.
Damn. We need to speak about that in a bit. Yeah, but go on.
Yeah, I barely knew myself at that point. So that's why a lot of the stuff that we went through as parents was because I hadn't defined myself, I hadn't found a direction, I hadn't found purpose. I hadn't found a reason for living apart from, okay, yeah, I'm taking care of these, you know, these kids, and I'm here. That was it. Mm. And that's cool. But a man's purpose must go beyond that. It must be greater. Taking care of the kids is, yes, 100% important. But more important, I would say, is where are you actually going? Because the kids need to be taken somewhere. They need to have an example.
Okay.
You know? So I thought for me, where I'm at right now, in any case, the purpose that I'm walking in is self-expression. And so when I have that focus of self-expression, which is for me and for everyone, I want everyone around me to express themselves as fully and as wholly as they possibly can, right? And to anything that they feel is stopping them and blocking them, to just say, fuck that. My expression is my expression. My truth is my truth. And with that focus, I can lead my children. Instead of just taking care of them, I can lead them with a vision. So now it's like, when I'm speaking with them, it's like I'm making sure that they're expressing themselves fully, that I'm expressing myself fully with them. And it changes the whole scope. Like my home, yeah, my sphere, the sphere that I live in, has transformed since I've been focused on a purpose.
I like that. I actually do like that, because like you said, like I said before, and like you're saying now, people just have children because they think that that's it. The goal is just to have children and have a family and that's it. You've made it. But then it's like, but then what happens next? It's like, oh, you raise the kids. Okay, but then after they leave and go off, what then? Oh, you retire. But it's like, you need, like, having kids, like you said, having kids is great, and of course they're your number one duty, but if, like you said, if you don't have a vision or a goal in mind, you're just going through the paces, you're just plodding along, you're not really driving yourself, thus driving your kids as well. So I'm glad that you do, or you have found what you were looking for. I'm really glad.
And the thing is, it's within all of us. We all already know what we need to do in this lifetime. It's just that there are so many distractions.
Oh, so many.
There's distractions and trauma. Those are the two biggest blocks that I see. And they're convenient because they come together. And distractions can distract us from our trauma, so we don't have to feel it.
Yep. I get that.
That's why Pornhub is so popular.
Yo, we need to talk about that. Okay. See, okay. So, because porn is still a part of this conversation as well, seeing as we've been talking about sperms and babies and everything. But what is this thing? Okay, one thing that I need to say, or to all the ladies listening, and or to all the guys that are listening, whether your partner, whoever they may be, right? Why do people get angry when your partner is watching porn? I never get that, because I think they know the answer. I think they know, because it's always what, aren't I not good enough? And they know the answer is yes, but they don't want that answer. Because first of all, even if you were amazing in bed and your partner's totally satisfied, you're not there all the time. And self-satisfaction is not a bad thing. So why is it that this taboo with porn is such a big issue? Because if it wasn't for porn, I'm telling you, porn industry is a good and a bad thing, but I feel like it's more good than bad. And I don't understand this whole taboo and this whole hatred. It's like people want to hate on porn, but they don't want porn to actually go away, kind of thing. I don't get it. I don't get it.
So I'll give you my perspective on that, which is, it comes down to a man's energy. And so I spoke about being in my purpose, right? And having a vision,
yeah,
having direction.
Yeah.
Since I've been in that space, I have women's attention in a different way. I've always, to some degree, been attractive to some women. Right?
But you're being very modest, Aaron. You're being very, very modest. I think in all the times I've been around you, there's been at least a plethora of women just be watching you from the side, like, hey, who's that over there? Hey.
Honestly, I was blind to that a lot of the time. I was blind to that. Like, honestly, that's something that I only realized a few years ago.
Okay.
A couple years ago, I was like, oh, okay. I see how that behavior was interest.
Mm.
It's, yeah.
Okay.
Definitely. And what it comes down to is energy and a man's energy.
Confidence.
We spoke about emotion, right? And how a woman wants to see that the man is a man and not a robot.
Yeah, confidence, yeah.
Yeah. And so that energy is expressed through our sex. Our sex energy is the creative energy that brings about life.
Talk about hormones?
Every child, what's that?
Hormones?
Again?
What's it called? Hormones? Hormones?
Oh, pheromones.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's a byproduct, if you want to call it that, of that whole operation which goes on within, right?
Mm-hmm.
And essentially, we can give, you know, we spoke about sperm giving that sex energy to a woman in the form of semen, and then she converts that into a child.
Yeah.
Right. That's energetic operations. So that same semen, when given to a virtual woman on a screen, is energy that woman is not receiving. And so I don't think it's necessarily about, oh, why am I not good enough? That's a surface issue, in my opinion. But what I see is that what a woman really desires is the man's attention, the man's energy. And she is willing to accept it when the energy is not going towards her, if it's going towards a mission, towards a vision. But when it's not going towards her and it's going towards pornography or another woman without her permission, you see, that's another thing, without her permission, then it can be tricky.
Okay.
Because I don't actually have a problem with porn in and of itself, right? And I think it's possible for people in a relationship to open up a conversation where they say, you know what, I would like to engage with porn now and again, or, you know, whenever I would like to do that. And it's different when a woman consciously gives her permission. All right. Or permission isn't the word I want to say. Let's say.
Yeah. Cause I want to, okay. Say, I wanted to touch on a few things as well. Cause I'm like,
go on.
Cause you, okay. So you're saying that in energy, you're giving energy towards technically everything. If we're gonna be very geeky and nerdy about it, everything is energy. Everything around us is actually literal energy. So whatever you do, whatever anything is doing, it is a transfer of energy. If we're gonna get geeky about it, so you're not wrong on that part. Well, it's what I'm trying to say is how do I say this? So imagine I'm hanging with my girlfriend, and then something, we're watching something, and then something comes up. The person on the show is watching porn, and then she goes, oh, porn? Oh, why is he watching porn? And she goes to me, as girlfriends do, they turn to you and go, do you watch porn? And it's like, and you know, with the tone that she asked that question, like, this is not really a question that I have to actually truthfully answer, because this might cause some problems.
That's an opportunity. Yes, I love that you said that. It might cause some problems. And that is the whole crux of the matter here in this relationship thing between men and women. Men are scared of women's emotions. They don't want women to be tripping out over some shit.
Yeah,
you know, so you certain conversations sometimes, right? We're like, ah, shit, and that's how that turns into lying, cheating, all that shit.
Yep.
But, so let's bring it back to that moment, right?
Yeah. So
what we have there is an opportunity. We have an opportunity when that question comes in. Do you watch porn? The opportunity that we have is to flip it around and take the lead, because we're supposed to lead anyway, right? We are the initiators. We are the directors, and a woman who is in her femininity wants a man to take the lead, not to own her in that sense, but to be a leader in his own right, right? So when that question comes in, we get the opportunity to flip that and say, what would it mean to you if I did? And then we've opened up that door to a conversation.
I see what you're saying. So what I did though, I answered the question. Okay, so here's the thing. I answered the question. I was just like, because in my head, I'm like, this is gonna cause some problems, man. The way she asked that question, damn. But I was like, you know what? Fuck it, I'm gonna ask it. So I'm like, yeah, I watch porn. And she goes, what? Really? And I was just like, yeah. And she was like, why? You have me. And I was like, you're not here all the time. And she's like, what? And so from my perspective, she was just feeling, I think from what I got from that, she felt that, aren't I not enough for you? Like, isn't my vagina enough for you? Aren't I enough for your desires? And it's like, well, you're not there 24/7, you know, like, What happens if we're on a holiday, or if you're on a holiday, you want me to not touch myself and just go with all this sperm building up in my balls until, what, you want to come back with all this old built up sperm and just blasting in your face? That's what you want. Like, what do you want from me? And that's how that conversation went. But I do get what you're saying. That's a good thing you brought up. That the reason why most guys, or some guys, cheat or they lie is because they do not want to deal with their girlfriends or their wives' emotions that might go out of whack from certain questions. That's why the guy's like, I want to keep her happy. So to keep her happy, I have to lie or bend the truth or just not say anything at all. And yeah, like you said, guys should stop doing that. We kind of need to just go into the storm and just see where it takes us. Yeah, that's true what you're saying. That's true.
That's it. We have the power, if we choose, to be a grounding point when that comes up. So, for example, that whole, am I not good enough? That's a legitimate feeling.
Yeah.
And what she desires is to be held. Yeah. Not to be like reassured, like, oh yeah, you are good enough, because that doesn't work.
Yeah.
It's deeper.
By the way, I love how you said that. Don't actually tell her you are enough. Don't say that. That's stupid. Don't tell her. If a girlfriend asks you, aren't I good enough? Do not answer, you are good enough. That is not the answer. What is the answer?
Saying that her emotions are invalid. Saying that is basically telling her that her emotions are wrong. And that's If you're looking for a war, congratulations. That's how to start one. You know, it doesn't need to be that. It doesn't need to be that. She wants support in that moment to first of all feel those emotions, and mm-hmm. then to be guided through them.
Mm.
So I would legit ask her, what would it mean for you if I did watch porn? And then she say, well, this and that, and I feel this and that. And then that's when I will come in and say, well, the way I see it is, you know, and then it literally opens up a dialogue which can, it leads to deeper spaces. And I say that from experience. I've had some very tricky conversations over the past.
Okay. Just for an example, would you mm-hmm. like to, just for the guys listening and the girls as well, because this is good for the girls as well, but like, give us an example of an argument in which the situation was like, whoa, but then you were like, hey, and then what's an example? If you're willing to share.
Hmm. You see, I'm gonna have to go digging for that one, because it's been a while, because I've had this under control for a minute now. Like, I'm feeling like a baby master in it. Not even a baby. I'm leveling up in this bitch.
The force is strong within you.
because I don't release my sperm on a regular like that anymore. How do I describe this?
Why does it always come to, you know, what with the people listening, is like, they talk about sperm quite a lot.
Yeah, this is it. This is our life force, man. This is some important shit.
By the way, you think about what, just hold on to what you're thinking and then you can go. Mm-hmm. But by the way, women don't understand how balls control a man's life. You women do not fucking understand. You know what? I had this conversation with another guy. We were both sitting there and we were like, how good would it be? How much would we actually accomplish if we just could remove our balls for like a day or two? How much would we get done, you know, if we just didn't have balls? Because women do not understand the drive that comes from this fucking sperm producing factory, the drive that pushes us, that bends our minds and our wheels. It's powerful. You women don't get how powerful it is.
They do get it. They do understand it. That's why seduction is a thing, because they want that power. They want that power. That's it. That's the whole game. That women are designed to receive and absorb that power. That's the game.
But anyway, you were going to say something before.
Yeah. So yeah, generally, since I begun with semen retention, my I've been moving differently. The first time I did it, I think, was last.
Wait, did you just say semen retention?
Semen retention.
Wait, is this a not to November kind of thing?
This is deeper than that. This is no not 6 months.
No not 6 months. To be honest though, you do have like what, three kids now?
Two, yeah.
Yeah. So I think you're good with the nutting. But yeah, continue.
That's the thing. You can have sex with practice, yeah. You can masturbate, you can have sex without ejaculating. You can reach that point of orgasm and then hold in the source and recycle that energy. And you feel that all of that drive that we have to go and, you know, to go and fuck, we reabsorb that and take it to go and fuck the world. Go and fuck the world. We go and bring our visions into reality.
Please go into detail. Please, please, please go into detail. Said, all right, so there's not 6 months, please.
I'm gonna tell you. So this was, it was 2019, I suppose, the first time that I really went in.
Okay.
And I just said, you know what? I'm done with busting nuts. Because what happens every time you bust a nut, right? How you feel?
Okay, so to all the female listeners out there, when a guy ejaculates or busts a nut, it always goes, it depends on the nut you bust, because they can be sad orgasms as well. But there's a one where it's like an immediate, it's like a firework, to explain it. It's like, boom, and you get the massive explosion, and then you get the twinkling stars, and then all you have left is just smelly gas in the air that slowly dissipates. That's what a male orgasm pretty much is.
So with that,
well, I mean ejaculation. Ejaculation, not the orgasm. The ejaculation is like that. I need to separate ejaculation and orgasm are two different things.
Yes, indeed. And how does your body feel? Do you feel energized, like you could go run a race?
No. It's like complete loss of energy. The energy's gone.
Right. Exactly. Because you shot out the energy. We literally shot out the energy. And you know, when you look at the spider community, you have the Black Widow, right?
Mm.
Who mates with the man and then basically eats him after she takes his energy.
Yeah. Literally.
Takes his energy and eats.
Yeah.
So we express that same energy through our ejaculate, through our semen when we release that. So I said to myself, hold on, what would happen if I held onto that energy and just build it up for a few months? It wasn't a few months at first. I said for a couple of weeks.
No, I tried that.
And I went through October, November, December, January, and I hadn't fully nutted in a minute.
Oh, see, okay. So you said fully. Wait. You said fully nutted. What do you mean?
In the process, you, I don't want to say lose. Yeah, you lose. Let's call it lose. Or you express a couple of drops while practicing.
You nutted, didn't you?
Mastery of this technique. What do you say?
Then you nutted, right? Then you, a few drops came out. That means a bit of nut.
Yeah,
came
what
out,
I'm talking
right?
about. Compared to what could come out, you know, it's nothing. And
so
the reason I say
so
that is because
slight nut November then.
Exactly. So beyond November, December, just throughout that period, right? But the key is all of that energy that I would lose beforehand by just releasing all of it, I got to keep it. I got to hold on to it. And then I felt motivated to actually do something, to create something. I was like, ha. So then what the purpose that the sex serves was to wake up something within me. So rather than just to get a nut and to get rid of it, like to empty my balls, it was to awaken something and then be like, now that this energy is awakened, I can fuck the world. You know, that's round two, round three, and so on and so forth. Right. But it's more of a mental energetic type sex that you're having. It's not with your penis necessarily, but the energy is awoken. And so during that for a few months, I was motivated, man. Like I was just, idea after idea was coming to me. I was like, all right, who can I get in touch with? I started translating. I got in touch with an author on Instagram. I liked his book. And I said, you know what? They need to get this book over here in Germany. I wrote him on Instagram. I said, yo, is there a German version? He was like, nah. You interested? I said, yeah, sure. I started translating his books in German.
Huh.
I got in touch with speakers, coaches, got my own coach. I spoke about Joanna and started my own business. All of that was on the back of that period of a few months where I just held on to my seed.
So what you're saying right now, because this is you're not the first one to say this, by the way. This has been a movement that's been going on for a while. So you're saying that if a guy holds on to his nut and he doesn't nut, you're telling me that you get this drive to just do stuff?
Yes.
Doesn't your balls hurt? Because I feel like if I don't nut for a while, my balls hurt. Does your balls hurt, or is that just that's just a me thing?
Believe that you experienced it.
I don't know.
I'm telling you, it's because you believe that, you experienced that. You've learned to associate not nothing with blue balls, right? And yeah, it's very real. It is very real.
Yeah.
I will say
it's real.
At the same time, I don't know if you ever watched those old Kung Fu movies, but
we're going back to the movies.
These energy points in their body, right? And it's like that. So it's like you feel that discomfort in your balls.
You talk about chi.
And yeah, exactly. Chi energy. And you meditate on that and you just move it around your body. Move it around your body to where you need it. So if you're like, all right, I need to express love, you can move that shit up to your heart. You know? If you're like, I need courage right now, you can move that to your belly. You know? If you want strength, you can move it to wherever you need it. Just like meditation, that shit has been a game changer. I feel like a superhero. I feel like a fucking, all of these comics and all of that I've been reading, it's like, yo, we mentioned this, there's a lot more truth to this than it seems. We'll get onto that though.
There's a lot I think when we're going to do the movie podcast, we're going to have to bring the movies and comics and all of that. That's all going to be mixed into that one. But from what you were saying, what was I going to say? So you're telling me, right, that you've been rolling around 6 months, no nutting, or slight nutting, I should say. And so you've been having sex then? You've been having sex, you just haven't been ejaculating?
Yes. I've had probably let's say 2-4 releases this year. So since the beginning of 2021.
So we're in what, May now? So it's been 5 months and you've only ejaculated twice.
Yeah.
Jeez. And just for the female listeners, and actually the guy listeners, I have to emphasize, there is a difference between ejaculating and a male orgasm, because a male orgasm is fucking insane. Jesus. Like, the best way to describe it is, I don't know how it is for you, but for me, it's like at the base of the dick, the penis, the whatever you want to call it, it's like a wave, a constant like wave that kind of moves away from that area and kind of shakes and shivers your body, kind of thing. I don't know if it's the same with you, but boy, first time that happened to me, I was like, this is a thing? What is this? Holy shit.
Yes.
Good shit. Yeah.
Definitely.
Wait, have you been orgasming?
Yes. Most definitely.
Just not ejaculating?
Yeah. Just rotate that shit around. Look up something called microcosmic orbit.
Microcosmic orbit.
Yeah, microcosmic orbit. It's from, don't let me lie, Taoism, I do believe.
Yeah.
It's from Taoist philosophy.
Okay.
And it describes a way that you can move that energy from the base of your penis, you know, from from where your balls are and that whole area down there, up through your spine, up to the back of your head, the crown of your head, and then back down the front again, and literally just move the energy all around your body. And by the way, if family is listening to this, it's your own fault.
Oh, shit.
Also, I'm grown.
Oh man. That's the thing, right? Yeah. I actually do believe, I mean it's not even about a belief, that we are made of energy, and it's just in so many cultures and in so many things. So like Taoism, Chi, Chakra, meditating, that's been a thing that's been around the world for so long. So I do not deny its I do not deny what's the word?
Potency.
Yes, it's potency. It's it works. It's It's a thing that works. It's meditation, especially meditation has helped so many people. So it definitely, definitely works. Meditation is good for sleep. It's good for a lot of stuff. So, geez, yeah. So anything else you want to talk about and close, because we're coming close to the end now.
Going for a minute, definitely. Mm. Yeah, man. So, we were speaking about that example, right? I didn't really think of one.
Yes. The example.
Yeah.
So just to close, like, whatever relationship you're in, do not be afraid to say something because you're afraid your partner is going to wig out over it. Because, the example I gave when we were watching something, then my girl was like, "Do you watch porn?" And then in my head, I'm like, "Oh shit, the way she asked that, this is going to cause some problems." Sometimes you're going to have to cause some problems, but it's the way that you move, the way you answer. Because if you go in with just, I don't know, what's the word? If you go in with rage or fury or with an unprepared mind, you're going to cause some actual problems. And don't lie to your partner. Don't lie to your partner. Don't be afraid. That's what's happening. A lot of people get into these relationships. What one thing I've been seeing is a lot of people get into relationships and they say, "Let's have fun. Let's do stuff and have fun." So that's what they do. They keep going out. They keep going to places. And it's like, "Let's just keep having fun." And then it gets to a point where it's like, is that all your relationship is? Where the movement's going to stop and you're going to have to sit. And then there's going to be some issues. And you're going to have to learn how to solve those issues as a couple. If you're just constantly, like you said, with the excuses and the distractions, because there's so many distractions these days, you can go do this, you can go do that. But then you're not actually sitting down and dealing with your problems, with your emotions, with your thoughts. It's like, that's a lot of things. It's happening a lot these days. That's why the divorce rate is climbing. So many people are getting divorced. Because they get into these relationships with people that are not complete, people that are not whole. You're not whole yourself, or you get into a relationship and you're not actually in a relationship. This is just a let's go have fun relationship. It's like constant honeymoon period without actually coming back to earth and having an actual grounded relationship. Seen that a lot lately. Guys, don't be afraid, man. Talk to each other. Oh, here we go. He thought of one. Awesome. Let's go.
I have an example.
Oh, that's fine. Yeah.
It's not a huge one, but it's what is huge is the shift about it, right? So, yeah, we speak and we share, parental responsibilities. You take care of this, I take care of that, so on and so forth, right? There's a compromise and a balance. On, like, truth be told,
to be honest, told, as women do,
she does most of the work.
As women do, let's be honest, women carry the load. You're pretty much just the assist. That's what you are. You're just mostly the assist.
Basically, mostly, yeah. My time is coming up now, so my son is approaching 7. So he's starting to look to me more. He wants to spend more time with me. That's a different story. But yeah, boys do get to that age where they start looking for that father figure too. They really want to see, all right, how does a man move? Definitely. But so yeah, you have a certain dynamic where previously, if she had asked me something like, "Do you want to go and pick up the kids from kindergarten, for example?" Then I might just be like, yeah, okay. I didn't really want to do it. Let's focus on other stuff. But I assumed that despite asking, she wanted me to go and do it. So I'm like, all right, before this turns into whatever, let me just go and take care of it. And then I'd just be walking down the street, thinking, thinking about the other shit that I wanted to do and so on and so forth. The transformation or the shift that took place was when she asked me, "Do you want to go pick up the kids?" I would say,
"Okay."
No. No, I don't. And that alone opens up something. So then it's me offering space. And I say, what is it that you want to do? You know, and then she might say to me, oh yeah, I'm good to go pick him up as well. You know, and if that's the case, it's like, all right, cool. Or it might be like, she might say, I have something to do. And it's like, okay, so
I get you.
I can take care of it. If you got something else to do, I can take care of it. You know, or it might be, we can go and get them together. You know, but just by saying how I felt in that moment, which is no, I don't want to go pick up the kids. No, I don't want to go shopping. No, I don't want to do this thing. Or, you know, I'm doing something else and I'll get around to it.
Yeah.
You know, just that is me just claiming my space, claiming who I am and saying I have my own going on and I am open to help.
Okay, I get
because
you.
We are working on this family project together.
So it's in a thing where you're both in the house, you're both at the house, and then she just turns to you and just goes, go pick up the kids. And then you're just basically, instead of just confronting her, you're just like, okay, fine. I guess I got to go pick up these kids. But then instead of just doing that, you were just like, no, I'm doing something right now. Right. And then that's when you had the conversation of, well, she has to do this. So can you go do it? I'm like, oh, okay. I didn't know you were doing that. Let me go do it. Or if you're not doing anything, we can go and get them together or something like that. Okay.
Right. Exactly. And the thing is, when I opened up to being able to like allow myself to say no, what I realized was that what she was asking me wasn't as confrontational as I had imagined it to be before. So, you know, I was like super offended by it. I was like, why are you telling me to, you know? That's how I felt, even though I didn't necessarily express that. But when I got on top of my shit, I realized that, that she was just throwing something out there, you know? And like between the two of us, me and her, I am the more, let's say, I'm the person that puts things into structure. So there's a lot of words that flow around. There's a lot of ideas. There's a lot of emotions that flow around in the family space. I am the person in the middle of it all who brings structure. I help
you family mean at members home, understand when you're each at home other with your family.
You know, when they have disagreements. Yeah. I'm that guy.
The mediator. Okay.
At home, yeah. I am the mediator. At home. Right. Indeed.
And ooh.
What that also reminded me of is that we had a conversation about porn at some point. And again, because I stood in my power. I stood in my power. It opened up to, well, would you be interested in watching something together? You know?
And yes.
That door, the only way that door can be opened is by communication. Just being like, you know what? This is me.
Yeah.
This is me. This is what I like. This is what I don't like. Let's talk about it. And so in terms of closing, like final thoughts, what I would say is, we as men must first of all take responsibility for ourselves and then be willing to anyone that we're in relationships with, whether that be romantic, platonic, right?
Yeah.
Be willing to show people the door. We're willing to show them the exit if they don't vibe with us. And it's not from a place of, you know, bad mind. It's just straight up, this is who I am. This is how I move. Do you fuck with it or not?
So long.
You know, like, are you down with it or not? Because that's cool. If you're not, then
yep.
Let's create the space so we can
connect.
That's
what we need right now. We need this. We need people to talk like this because people. So just to summarize, women are badass, but we as guys need to learn how to find ourselves, be confident in ourselves. Don't be afraid to just tell it like Aaron said, don't be afraid to just say things as they are because you'd be surprised at the response you get. Like what you just said, like when she was asking you, hey, go get the kids, in your mind, you thought she was taking liberties. You thought she was just like, go get the kids. And you were like, what the fuck is this? Why is she telling me to just go and get these kids like that? But what you realized after having conversations with her is that she wasn't demanding you to do it. She wasn't like, you know, forcing you. She was just like, hey, would you want to go get the kids? And then you realize, oh, that's how that was like. So you were creating this whole thing inside your own head without actually even talking to the person that you should be talking to. So that was great what you said right there, man. I like that. So yeah. 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 I really like that.
I love that summary, man.
This one was another great good summary. One. I'm very happy with this. So I hope we patched things up from the whole, I hope that we don't have a brigade of people going rah, rah, rah. And I really do wish we had a woman here to talk on certain issues and topics. Like, I want a woman to come on here, give a female perspective. Like you said, we want some trans people to come on and talk as well. It's a deep dive into the whole situation. We need more people on here.
Yeah, definitely. Because I feel a lot of the discourse, at least that you see in you know, mainstream media and social media, it's all about the whole justice aspect of it. And, you know, these people deserve their rights and this, that, and the other. And yes, there is that. But I don't really care about that stuff. That's everyone's got their own battle to fight with their rights. What I want to know is the person. I want to know the person. You know, I don't care about the label, so to speak. You know, because everyone's got their, we as black people, quote unquote black people.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's got their thing that they're fighting for, right? And that's cool. I want to know the person.
Yeah.
The person behind this, behind that label. The person behind that fight, you know, what is it that, like, yeah, just how did this come to be? What is your story?
Yeah.
What is your actual
that's
story?
That's cool, man. Because at the end of the day, that's what we all are. We're all just politics, people. We're all just people personal. Living on this planet, trying to live our lives, man. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for us to sign out. It's been another good one. I hope you enjoyed it. Please leave your comments. Please vibe with us. If you don't vibe with us, that's cool as well. How do you want to sign out, Alan?
Peace, love, wholeness, all of that good stuff.